I'm gonna lie to you guys, this is really exciting for me. This is my first time getting to preach here at Cottonwood outside of student ministry services, and it's probably because I dress like I do. I apologize for being here in busted up Vans and a hat and a t-shirt, so if you didn't know I was a youth minister before, you do now just by looking at me. So I just want you guys to go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 10. That's where we're going to be. Also, it's really nice to have a stage that's not like 6 foot tall like in the gym. I feel like I got a little authority, but I'm not down low, so this is nice. So you guys go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 10. Tonight, what I wanted to hit on and what I wanted us to talk about and my hope for tonight is that you would leave this place, hopefully, with a little bit better understanding of what the church is, and two, a little bit better understanding, or at least thinking about where your place in the church is, right? And so not only what is the church, what am I doing here, right? Like, what is the point? Like, and if we're honest with ourselves, hopefully, I think we've all asked ourselves that question. I hope you never find yourself doing something every week and forget to ask, why am I doing this, right? Like, I brush my teeth every morning and every night. You wanna know why? One, because I don't like cavities. Two, because I have a wife and I like kissing my wife. And I know that if those things don't happen, then I'm probably not getting kissed. And I think at times, church can feel like that for us for a little bit, right? It feels almost like sort of routine maintenance at times, or maybe it's like you get that reminder from your wife every now and then. It's like, hey, babe, you need to put on some deodorant. Like, that has happened to me. I just recently built a bookshelf. I came inside. My wife said, the bookshelf looks awesome. And her next statement was, you need to put on more deodorant. I said, listen, I just built a bookshelf. Quit ragging on me, okay? But there's this idea that sometimes church can kind of feel like and sound like a little bit like routine maintenance. But we never really notice kind of the benefits of it until we really stop participating in it, right? Like, we don't really notice the benefits of deodorant until all of a sudden one day you're in a crowd and you get really self-conscious because you catch a whiff of yourself. I mean, for real though. And church at times can feel a little bit of the same, right? Like, you don't notice the benefits of it, and then you start missing it enough, and you're thinking to yourself, man, I feel that. I feel that a little bit. So as you guys open up to Hebrews chapter 10, shameless plug, one more time, I want you to think about this. Some of you guys were alive. I think all of you were probably alive because I was alive, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I think I'm younger than most of you, maybe. I try to grow this super scraggly beard to make myself look older, but most of you could probably remember the Bulls in 95 and 96. You guys were alive for that, right? The Bulls, 95, 96, Jordan, Pippen. Who else, guys? Who are we missing? Rodman, thank you. That's my favorite one. That's my favorite one. I was hoping you guys would know. So we had Rodman, we had Pippen, and we had, of course, Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player who ever lived. You want to debate it, just count the rings, right? But here's what goes on with that. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Jordan is incredible, but would Jordan have had the 95-96 season that he had without Pippen and Rodman and all the other team players? Probably not. There's this idea that if you remove any three of those players, even though one is certainly more talented than the others, you take away any three of those and all of a sudden it's not the same 95-96 Bulls. My other thought on this, so maybe you guys hate sports or maybe you just can't relate, maybe you weren't alive. I love the show The Office. I love that I'm outing myself. So if you've seen it and you're like, sinner, yes, cards on the table. I love the show The Office. We can talk about it later. There are some parts in there that I regret seeing, absolutely. But there are other parts in there that I will never forget and I still chuckle to myself about. But here's what happens in The Office. If you've never seen it, there's this main character, his name is Michael Scott, and he is really, like, he may not be your favorite character, but he really is the linchpin to the show. And one day, I think it was like season 7, something like that, spoiler alert, you have like 10 years to watch this, so if I'm ruining something for you, I don't feel bad. At one point, he actually leaves the show. And if I'm honest, the show was still okay. There was enough sentiment there to keep me involved, but once he left, it was not the same show. The point I'm trying to make is this, that the whole can be incredible. The 95-96 Bulls can be incredible. The show The Office can be incredible, but there are vital players to each one of those things. If you think about your own favorite TV show, you think about your own favorite sports team, there's a piece of it that feels different when somebody leaves or gets replaced. For me, I'm a big Rangers fan, and we are suffering right now because we don't have Beltre. right? Some of you guys are like, don't care. But for some of you, Hunter, I know you're with me, right? We're suffering right now because of these things. I want you to see that, in essence, the church is that way. And you, if you are part of the church, you are a vital part of the church. And there is something that is different and off when you aren't here, aren't involved, aren't part of the church. So if you're at Hebrews chapter 10, hopefully I've given you enough time to get there. I want us to read verses 19 through 25. We're going to have a couple other verses toward the end of tonight. But this is the main one that I want to come out of right now. And I want to read this, and then we're going to kind of open this up a little bit is my goal, to dive into this verse specifically. And then we'll get into a few other verses that kind of clue us in on our role in the church. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says this. And again, forgive me if I get a little spicy. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of Christ's return drawing near. There are a few things that I want to point out from this passage about the church. Now, I know that whoever was writing the book of Hebrews, that's not because I'm ignorant, that's because we genuinely don't know. There's some good guesses, but it was either Paul or Luke, that's what I'm going with. So one of these dudes gets a little wordy in this passage here, and it's easy to get lost amongst all the theological language and the Christological language. But what I want us to see is a couple of things. So first of all, many of us think that we belong to a church simply because we show up, right? Now, I know that maybe that's not some of you guys. If you're here on a Wednesday night, chances are that's probably not you, right? Because sometimes Wednesday night's kind of hard to get to. So if you're making time for this, I'm going to say it may not be you, but maybe it is, or maybe it was. But a lot of people, and maybe a lot of us, have this mindset that if I simply show up, and if I'm here on a Wednesday, if I'm here on a Sunday, then I am part of Cottonwood. But what I want us to see is that belonging to the church, and not just this building, but the church being Christ's bride, as it's referred to in other parts of Scripture, what that looks like for us is one, having our hearts sprinkled clean by the blood of Jesus, like the book of Hebrews just told us, with water, that's baptism. Again, that's a really complicated way to say baptism, right? But he's explaining what's going on in this sort of outward act of faith. And so what belonging to the church looks like is not simply just showing up, but it's being involved in truly holding fast to the confession of hope that we've been given in Christ. Now, some of you guys are wondering, like, what do I hold fast to, right? What's this confession of hope? The confession of hope is the gospel, right? Hopefully you guys have heard this before. If you're coming on Wednesday nights, any sort of regularly, I know that you've heard the gospel before because I know the guys that are preaching up here. And the gospel is that in Genesis 3, everything went wrong. God created man and woman in his image, and they chose sin over the Lord, and everything was fractured. And we live in that world every day, right? It's no mystery to us that things are wrong, right? In a room this size, it's very easy to say, I know that some of us have had people pass away due to cancer. I know that some of us have lost family members to car wrecks. I know that some of us have lost people to some sort of disease or ailment. It's not hard to look around. Look at what's going on in the Middle East. Look at what's going on in Syria and know that the world is broken and it's fractured. And the gospel is this beautiful story that from before time began, before creation ever happened, that God had looked and seen what would happen with man, and he had planned that he would send his son to make all things new, to make things right. And the initiation of that was Christ coming as a babe. We celebrate on Christmas, right? Little 8-pound, 9-ounce, sweet baby Jesus sitting in a nice little manger, right? And we celebrate that. And then we also celebrate Easter. And we celebrate his whole perfect life that he lived because we couldn't. And then he suffered in our place. He suffered the consequence of that sin. When Adam and Eve chose something over the Lord, which is what we all do every day, that sinful habit was passed to us. And down through the generations and generations and generations. And when Christ came, he only chose the Lord all the time. He was God in the flesh. He lived a perfect life. And the punishment that we deserve for that sin, he took on the cross. And what's even greater is that if that's not enough, he rose from the dead by the power of the Spirit, like Romans tells us. And he defeated sin and death. It couldn't hold him. And by that same power, that is now available to us, that we might overcome sin and death through the death and sacrifice of Christ, right? And his rising from the dead. This is that confession of hope. So hopefully you have heard that before. Hopefully, cards on the table, my goal is for you to believe that tonight, if you haven't. And if you have, that is the confession that we hold on to so tightly. That is the confession that allows us to be part of this global church. And after that, we all know that we move in to getting baptized, right? So think about it this way with me. How many of you guys grew up and you had a rich friend that you hung out with, right? So I grew up in sixth grade. I met my best friend. They moved here from South Carolina. He's a missionary now in Thailand. I actually get to see him this week for the first time in a year. I'm super excited. Growing up, his family was super wealthy. Growing up, my family was not super wealthy. So guess who I hung out with a lot? Thomas, right? Because Thomas had a boat. And I was definitely trying to get out on that boat every day in the summer, right? And then through that, me being very selfish and trying to use him, turns out we ended up being best friends. And it was incredible. Now, it doesn't matter. Tori loves my honesty. He knows that I'm not even playing. That's the problem. I'm not even trying to make a joke. That was my sinful heart. I was like, you're cooler than me. You're in better shape than me. You got better stuff than me. Let's hang out. And so this goes on. Now, what's crazy is I could spend every single day with Thomas's family. And oftentimes I did, right? Some of you guys might have kids who have friends that wear out their welcome. Right? I was a kid wearing out my welcome, but thankfully his parents were believers. They knew that I was broke. They knew my parents weren't believers, so they put up with me in hopes that I might hear the gospel. Praise God, I did, right? But no matter how much I hung out with them, no matter how many events I went to, no matter how many vacations I went on with them, if his parents were to pass away today, I'm not getting any of the inheritance because I was never adopted into his family. Now, I want you to know that Cottonwood is a lot like a rich family. We have plenty of resources. We do lots of fun things. And everybody in this room is welcome to any of it. You are welcome to join us in whatever we do as a church, whether it's Easter, Christmas, Wednesday night, Sunday mornings, mission trips, whatever it is, whatever you want to be at, you can be at. But here's the deal. You have no part in the Father's inheritance unless you are adopted. And 1 John tells us this, if I'm talking about holding on to this confession of hope, accepting what Christ has done on my behalf, believing in the gospel story that Christ has saved me away from sin, away from death, out of the punishment for my sin, if I believe those things, then 1 John tells me that God gives me the right to become a child of God. Now, I know a lot of you guys might have heard this before. I used to say it all the time, right? Like, we're all children of God. Well, some of us aren't. Because some of us have not been given the right to become a child of God. The good news is this, though, that the opportunity to become a child of God is available to you tonight. The opportunity to become a child of God, to take part in that inheritance, not just simply join us in all the fun things we do, but to genuinely become part of the family, to hold fast to the hope and confession that we have in the gospel in Christ, to have our hearts sprinkled clean like the book of Hebrews talks about, that opportunity is available. That's not going to leave you after tonight. Maybe some of you have questions about that, and I want to talk to you guys about that afterward. Now, maybe some of you guys, you believe this confession. Most of you, more than likely. Again, if you're here on a Wednesday night, chances are you know the gospel. Some of us, we genuinely believe this statement of faith. You're genuinely Christians, but you don't see the importance of being involved. That's difficult. It is, isn't it? Right? Even in my own family, I don't want to go to every function. All right? And I love my family, okay? Like, there's nothing that I would not do for my mom or my brother or my grandma, but they live in East Texas, and one, I can't stand East Texas. I'm not trying to be offensive. There's nothing to do. When I say East Texas, I don't mean Tyler. I mean like Athens and Bullard. So if you know where that is, then you have suffered as well, okay? But even then, when my family is like, hey, come hang out, I'm like, that's 2 hours there, and it's 2 hours back, and I got a dog, and my wife is, you know, I don't know if I'm gonna, like, I don't even want to do everything with my own family, okay? I get it. I'm so sympathetic to it. But I want us to see something out of the scripture here. Look at verse 23 for me. I want to read on from verse 23, Hebrews 10, verse 23. He starts again by saying, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then he says this, verse 24, consider what these next two verses mean for you. Not mean in your own eyes, but the scripture has a meaning that is separate from what you believe. It is true despite you. So I want you to think about what this means and how it should sit on us. Verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We're supposed to be doing something. We're supposed to be considering how we can stir up one another to love and good works. And look at verse 25, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the we're supposed to be in attendance because otherwise we can't do our job as faithful church members. I want to read you guys a couple of verses here, and I got a few more things, and then I'll be wrapping up. I didn't plan on talking for a whole long time, but one of my greatest passions is the church itself. Nothing means more to me than the church, because part of my own story, and I want you to hear this, I didn't become a believer until I was 17 years old. But I became a believer, and this is the reason I love being a middle school minister, because I met my best friend in sixth grade in middle school. And he happened to be a believer. And not a South Carolina, somewhat Texas Bible Belt, I go to church because my parents make me, like, the dude loved Jesus. And his family loved Jesus. And they loved me like Christ would love me. And for years, they shared the gospel. And for years, they opened their home. They were the church, doing the church's job out to me, encouraging me up in the faith, bringing me to church, doing these things. And now I see the church, and I firmly believe that the church is God's number one plan for furthering his kingdom. The church is God's number one plan for furthering his kingdom. And in order for that to happen, we have to have a church that's actively involved in doing what God has called us to do. And I believe that with my whole heart. And I think sometimes we might have a misunderstanding about how difficult it is to really be part of the church, or maybe we overplay it. But these things that I want to read to you, I want you to see that what the church and the expectations lean on you are what you're already naturally gifted in. Because God, through his Spirit, you have your natural gifts that you've been born with. You have spiritual gifts that God has given you once you were saved. And those things were meant for building up the church. So I want to read a couple of verses, and Matt said he'd put those up on the screen for me. I want to read Colossians 3, 16 through 17. Hopefully they'll be up there. Just to walk home and consider and ask ourselves the honest question. One, am I part of the church? Not just attending. Do I have an inheritance with Christ? Have I been sprinkled clean? Have I been washed by the water? And then two, from there, what does it look like for me to use my gifts and be involved in the church? So Colossians 3, 16 and 17 reads like this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I know that makes some of y'all nervous. We'll leave that to Zane. But if you are musically gifted, you ought to be singing songs and psalms and spiritual songs to one another. I want you to think about when you were a kid and you wanted to cry yourself to sleep, and mom or dad, whichever one could hold a tune, might come and sing a song to you. This is weird. I didn't grow up in a Christian home at all. When I was sad at night, I wanted my mom to sing Silent Night. I don't know. It could be springtime. I could be sweating. It could be 85 degrees, nowhere near Christmas. And for some reason, there was a song, Silent Night. I just wanted my mom to sing that to me. And it was a comfort to me. the scripture goes on. It says, with thankfulness in your hearts to God, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's a few things we can take away, right? We have responsibilities when we show up here. You guys seen that parody video called Church Hunters instead of House Hunters? Yeah, it's been going around. I had a good giggle, right? I chuckled to myself. It was great. But it's a parody on House Hunters, people looking for things that really suit them. And I'm hoping tonight that we can kind of flip that on its head. And we would look at church as a place not that simply suits us, although that would be nice, but a place where we might be able to pour out and use our gifts to encourage one another. And maybe if we're not, maybe we feel that a little bit. Maybe we leave tonight going, okay, I need to consider where I can use my gifts to pour into this church. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says then this. What then, brothers, when you come together, not if, when you come together, each one has a hymn, each one has a lesson, each one has a revelation, each one has a tongue or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up, the building up of the church. Is that our mindset when we show up? Do we look at the person across the room who we might not know and think to ourselves, how can I stir you up to good works? How can I bring you into this family? How can I preach a gospel so that you might be adopted and have an inheritance with me and my family? It's one thing to invite to events. It's one thing to say, come have fun with us, which is good and right. It's another thing to say, would you like to be part of my family forever? Would you like to share in my inheritance? Lastly, I want to read you Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and then we'll wrap up. It says this, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint, that's every one of you, with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We know when a part of our body is missing, right? We know when a part of our body is hurt, right? Nothing will make you want to say some wordy dirds quicker than trying to walk through your own house in the night, right? Breaking pinky toes, right? You know when something's wrong. You know when a piece of your body is not right and you care for it. And everything else ought to come to the aid of that thing in a genuine effort to heal it, to build it up, to take care of it. What I want you to leave this place knowing, if you've never felt like it before, two things I hope for. If you felt like you've just been attending events here at Cottonwood, but you've never felt like part of the family, tonight's the night. Like I said, I'm out on Sunday, so I got no shame. Tonight's the night. If you feel like you've simply been invited to a lot of fun things, but maybe you might not share in an inheritance with these people here, maybe you can have fun in the moment, but when you leave, you still wonder how somebody else has everlasting joy outside of the fun things that we do, tonight's the night. Hold fast to the confession of faith. Hold fast to the gospel that we talked about. Have your heart sprinkled clean tonight. Please, for your own sake, share in the inheritance. It's open to you. It's open to you. And secondly, if you do believe this and you have been here, I want you to hear maybe for the first time, and hopefully not, but you are vital to this place. You may feel small and insignificant. You may feel as though you have no important role. But I want you to know that Scripture says that you have things to do here. And that's not meant to feel like a weight on you, like, oh man, maybe I'm not doing enough. But what it's meant to make it that people would notice, and people do notice if I'm gone. And I want you to hear this. The rest of us are missing out if you're not walking in your gifts. And if you're not using the gifts to build up the church, if you're not using your gift of encouragement, if you're not using your gift of song, if you're not using your gift of teaching and exhortation to build up the church, I'm missing out. Everybody in this room is missing out. And I want you to know that we're here to help you walk through that. Maybe you're like, man, I have no idea what I'm good at, what I could bring to the table. Hey, shameless plug right here, middle school ministry needs you. If you're like, man, I don't know what to do, I'm like, I know what you could do, right? High school ministry needs you. You don't know what to do, high school ministry be like, I know what you need to do. Doesn't even matter, man. We will plug you in. All you have to do is ask, and we will do everything within our power to find the right place for you here in Cottonwood, because we want you to know how necessary and vital you are. We want this church to run smoothly. We want this body to be healthy. And in order for that to happen, we need every part working properly. I want to pray for you guys, and then there's going to be some questions on the screen. And as those questions are on the screen, I know they give you guys time to reflect. Maybe those scriptures that were up, read them to yourself. Maybe read them slowly and consider, am I doing this? How can I do this? And maybe for you, you think, I do feel like I've just been attending events and things, but maybe not fully part of the family. That is why we're here. I literally get paid to talk to you about those things. So please come and talk to us about the gospel and what it means to hold fast to that confession of hope. I want to pray for you guys, and then Zane's going to lead us so beautifully, as he always does with his gifts and wonderfulness. Father, thank you for today. So grateful, Father, that I got to preach tonight. I love your word, Father, and I love you for giving it to us. You have not left us in this world to grope about in the dark, trying to figure out what it is we're supposed to do or what it is that you have for us or what our purpose is, Father, but you have told us explicitly that we are a vital part of your church. So, Lord, I love you. I love these people. I pray even that as I leave, Father, that they would continue to grow, that they would continue to love you, that they would continue to make a difference here in Allen and McKinney, and that they, for maybe the first time, would see themselves as a vital part of this place, in this church. Let them ask themselves the honest question of what it looks like to be a working part of this body. Lord, I love you, and it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.